Thank you for tuning in to the FactCheckVaccine.com audio stream podcast. If you find the following information helpful, please share it with others. And now we begin the audio stream.
When you withdraw your consent from having your children masked and tested and locked down at home because little Johnny's got a positive PCR test, which is utter nonsense. Mm-hmm. When you withdraw consent, when you show courage, talk to the other parents, tell them it's utter nonsense. There is no unusual hazard in your environment whatsoever, except for your government and your compliance. The government and your compliance. There is no threat from the virus, right? Even if there was a threat from the virus, which has been whizzing around like a bad smell for almost 18 months. I mean, don't you really think it's finished by now? How long does a novel flu take to go through the country? 4 months? So do me a favor. You know this when I tell you. The same virus is supposed to be going around the drain for 18 months and you're all still susceptible. The only people who were ever susceptible were the people, unfortunately, who were quite close to the end of their lives. So older than 70 and ill. So if you're under 70 or in good form, this virus is never going to kill you. And even if it made you slightly ill, there are at least five or six drugs that could treat you. Ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, zinc, azithromycin, fluvoxamine, budesonide. See, it's the most treatable respiratory viral illness ever. Really well characterized. So one, it's not a threat to you unless you're very old and ill. Two, there are loads of good treatments. Three, it's been through the community about 6 times. So there is no unusual health threat in your environment, except your government's lies and your compliance.
Guys, welcome back. Oh my goodness. Brandon.
Simone.
So happy to be here with you.
Absolutely.
And I'm even happier to be here with our guest that we're about to introduce.
A guest is an absolute powerhouse.
Oh my goodness. Like, I think this is probably the most appropriate way to start the awakening.
Absolutely, 100%. You know, I think there's so much knowledge that this person does, so much credibility, that the information he's going to deliver here today, right now, to start off with, is something that you're really going to want to listen into and take notes, because this is key for everything.
Oh, I'm going to be taking notes as I'm speaking. I'm saying that right now, but that's who I am.
Yeah.
So we have, in that little clip that we showed earlier, right before this, we came here, Michael Eden.
Yes.
So he is the former vice president of Pfizer. I need you guys to hear me. Pfizer, so you know the company that, you know, came up with the vaccine and it was 99.99% safe?
Yeah. Yeah. Don't worry, we got you.
So what's interesting about him is that he, and what makes him to many seem dangerous, and not, again, dangerous only to those who are trying to keep things covered.
Absolutely, 100%.
Right? He has 15 years of allergy and respiratory research. So this is not a man who is coming to us with a conspiracy. No. He's coming to us with some science.
But also, this guy was a chief scientist of Pfizer, of global R&D.
Yes.
Okay, so here's the thing, that this gentleman is right up there. And then when you're taking this person on, he knows what he's talking about. And now having people turn around saying he doesn't know what he's talking about, you know, it's a very quick U-turn.
And you know what? This is what we're going to talk with Michael about today. We're going to just, honestly, I want to hear what his journey has been. And I have some questions for him, because one thing I want to throw out that he has said is that he doesn't oppose vaccines. And 100%. I think I want to start that. So let us welcome to the Awakening World Truth Summit, Mr. Michael Eden.
Hello. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
I don't think I pressed a button. I wasn't working.
No, you're good. Way. You're perfect, Michael. Perfect. Thank you for the time.
Yeah. Okay. So, like I said, I'm super stressed out. You are my penultimate interview. All right. So I'm gonna do my best in 40 minutes. I've got a call at 5. There are no other slots. I've got to turn to some urgent things, and then maybe see you on the other side. If I do get out of the country, then that's different. But at the moment, things are getting super critical. You are my penultimate interview, whether it works or not. So ask me whatever you like, or else I can, you know, just talk. Depends on what you want to do.
Brandon, yeah. I'll let you start. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, Michael, thank you so much for being on here with us. We understand it's a very, very tense time right now. you know, obviously our last stream got compromised, so we're trying to do this way. So there's a few questions that we're obviously going to be duplicated, but I don't see anybody better than you to be able to ask these questions to. So thank you so much for your time, for being here. We understand you're on a time limit, so we're going to really get to this right now. One of the questions I really wanted to ask you, first and foremost, is obviously you've been compromised by this whole situation. You're not doing this for fame, for money, for ego. If anything, you're being attacked for this. You know, so if you could just speak to that a little bit, just so that people can understand a little bit about your background and that you're doing this for the benefit of people to get the information out.
Yes, thank you very much. So yes, so briefly, I'm Dr. Mike Yeadon. I'm a recently retired lifer. I've spent my whole career as a professional commercial scientist in the pharmaceutical industry and in biotech. So I was at the Wellcome Research Labs and then Pfizer UK, the latter for 17 years. I left as vice president and chief scientist of allergy and respiratory research worldwide. So I was responsible for a selection of new projects that we would run in the lab, all the way up to hopefully selecting a clinical development candidate and going into early patient studies. And after that would hand off when successful to full development. So that's what I did. Training, a degree in biochemistry and toxicology. And then I did a research-based PhD in respiratory pharmacology. So a broad understanding of life sciences disciplines as they apply to pharmaceutical or drug treatment R&D. So reasonable understanding of pathology, the underlying causes of disease and how to treat them. I left Pfizer 10 years ago, so it's not that relevant that I was at Pfizer, really, I don't think, but people seem to gravitate to that. Well, in the last 10 years, I've been an independent. 5 or 6 years of that time, I was CEO and co-founder of a biotech company with a couple of former colleagues, raised $45 million US dollars in equity finance. An early stage compound through some phase two studies. So studies in patients with eczema or atopic dermatitis. The studies produced a successful result. And based on that data, Novartis, the world's biggest drug company, acquired that company I was in. And so I made money for the investors and for my co-founders and for me. So at that point, I was early retired, relatively wealthy, no worries. So the last couple of years, I've just been doing a bit of light consulting. So I've worked for about 30 startup companies, mostly in the US. So that's me. I've never made a single comment publicly about anything my life, from briefly as CEO of the biotech. So I had to be its public face. So I would speak in the trade press or to financiers. Other than that, I've never said anything publicly about anything. I've never hugged a tree. I've never posted leaflets for a political party. I've never been a conspiracy theorist, because people always ask me that. I've never done anything. I'm a very, very boring BBC watching, Telegraph reading class retired guy with a hobby. All right, so that's who I am. Right? Yeah. That's who I am. I would say I was very good at what I did. Nothing else. I loved science. I was really liked the puzzle nature of science. One of the guys, Professor Sir James Black, who won a Nobel Prize, much older than me, but one of the last lectures he gave when I was a young scientist, he said that pharmaceutical R&D is the last really important, truly important organized game for adults. So it was slightly a chuckle, but it's a good point. It's a really difficult thing to work out what's gone wrong in human disease, what are the points of intervention to fix it, and how can you produce benefits, at least people's symptoms, if not the disease process, without hurting them. So you're trying to get benefits without side effects. And that's a really, really difficult needle to thread, and you can go a whole career and not get it. So I have not had a drug all the way from idea to the market, but I've made contributions to drugs that have produced benefits on the market and taken some ideas all the way to what's called proof of concept. So I've done my bit and I was quite good at it. And then 2020 came along, and by the end of April, yeah, that's right, when we had the first lockdown, which was just absurd. Yes. I was not happy about that. I was fairly sure it wouldn't work. And then when they extended it, my wife reminded me that I was running around the house raving like a lunatic because I said, we are in trouble. We're in trouble. Seriously, yeah. I knew you were in awful trouble. So, and so I started speaking out saying, you know, basically I didn't get there till the end of the year. Initially, I started by being a very polite scientist and pointing out that the use of this PCR or polymerase chain reaction test for diagnosis of viral infections was absurd. Even its inventor, who won a Nobel Prize for it, told us it's not suitable for the purpose, but that's what the government was doing. So, and I, by about the end of the year, I realized they weren't just making a few little errors or occasionally a little white lie. Absolutely everything they were telling us was a lie. And then when you look around the world, I realized that every country simultaneously preparedness plans. We all had one. We all threw them in the bin, and they all adopted the eight lies simultaneously. So you who are listening to me, you can decide whether that makes me a conspiracy theorist or whether there genuinely is an international plan, because it's obviously the latter. And that's what's going on. We're being lied to. I don't know exactly what the purpose is, but we're being locked down, the economy being smashed. Fear is being induced by a mixture of lies and psychological operations. And there you go, I'll stop now. That's where we are. So I've been doing my best to point this out. I've done probably 40 interviews around the world. And you're right, I don't get paid for it. I've lost all little bits of work I had. Most people who I say were professional contacts have just literally run and hidden because they've decided to be cowardly, agreeing with me in private, but they won't say anything in public. But I'm telling you this because it's destroying the world I'm in, and I'm quite cross about that. But I'm very much more fearful about the destruction of the normal free world that my children and grandchildren live in. So I will keep going until this improves or I die, frankly, because there's nothing else to do. Right, I'll take a question.
Absolutely.
So I do have something to ask you. A lot of people have been coming to us and they're saying, Dr. Eden, that they're hearing us talk and we're talking, we're hearing everything that's happening. We know it's not good, but what are the solutions? What solutions do you think we can offer people to what's happening right now? What can they do?
Yeah, no, it's a great question. And I hope they won't be too disappointed when I say, how the hell will I know? I mean, I don't mean that disrespectful. Seriously, I think it's enough to, it's enough to have realized that, you know, absorbed all the information, checked the science. I've read more papers in the last 18 months than in the previous 10 years. So I'm all over all of the immunology, the claimed immunology against this virus and the previous viruses. So I absolutely know, for example, that all this rubbish about variants is just nonsense, that the variants don't differ by more than about 0.3%. I know for absolute certain that a virus could differ by 20% and be absolutely no possibility your immune system would think it was a different virus. So I assure you, the variant stuff, you're being lied to, and yet, the international borders of my country, United Kingdom, are effectively closed over a lie. They're telling us, don't let these dangerous variants in. It's absolutely nuts. You just need to go and check a couple of papers and you'll realize that you should be as frightened as I am, because just literally you're being lied to. BBC is not telling the truth. All of the Royal Colleges have either looked at their shoes, shame on you, or they're going along with the lies as well. And so there's a lot of intimidation going on there. Thing is, I'm not easily intimidated. I've got literally nothing to lose. My life has been smashed. So I will keep going until people wake up. But how do we respond? I would say, I do believe in the end, anyone who's listening to this, or maybe you've heard me before, if you're waiting for something to happen so that life will get back to normal, I think you're fooling yourself. You've got to change. I've got to, you know, it's what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. If I think it's simple, if enough of us just literally, if we all just turned up at the town hall one evening and said, excuse me, had enough now. There was enough of you can these rotten politicians. I think if the police were sensible, they would listen to me and go and arrest. I could give them a list of names. I won't do it now because it'll probably be actionable, but I'd be quite happy to give them a list of names and the prima facie reason why they're criminals. They're seriously criminals and they should be arrested. Lots of them, several senior politicians, quite a few members of SAGE, and people who run other foundations, you know who I mean, actually are criminal. They've done things that have had the effects of killing people. For example, pretending there are no effective treatments for this respiratory viral infection, and telling people to stay at home pretty much until they're blue. and then turn up in hospital and they get ventilated, which is almost always inappropriate. That's mass murder. That's what they've done. It's mass murder. So we could recover if there are enough policemen, and there are a few. I'm in touch with Mark Sexton, who's a very brave officer. So that's one thing. But basically, it's when you withdraw your consent from this nonsense. So let's say you're 40 and you've got a couple of kids at primary school. When you withdraw your consent from having your children masked and tested and locked down at home because little Johnny's got a positive PCR test, which is utter nonsense. Mm-hmm. When you withdraw consent, when you show courage, talk to the other parents, tell them it's utter nonsense. There is no unusual hazard in your environment whatsoever, except for your government and your compliance. The government and your compliance. There is no threat from the virus. All right. Even if there was a threat from the virus, which has been whizzing around like a bad smell for almost 18 months. I mean, don't you really think it's finished by now? How long does a novel flu take to go through the country? 4 months. So do me a favor. You know this when I tell you. The same virus is supposed to be going around the drain for 18 months and you're all still susceptible. The only people who were ever susceptible were the people, unfortunately, who were quite close to the end of their lives. So older than 70 and ill. So if you're under 70 or in good form, this virus was never going to kill you. And even if it made you slightly ill, there are at least five or six drugs that could treat you. Ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, zinc, azithromycin, fluvoxamine, budesonide. See, it's the most treatable respiratory viral illness ever. Really well characterized. So one, it's not a threat to you unless you're very old and ill. Two, there are loads of good treatments. Three, it's been through the community about six times. So there is no unusual health threat in your environment except your government's lies and your compliance. That's how we fix it. There's no other way. If you wait for the government to fix it, you're not going to. I don't think that even the government's doing it. I think there are powerful groups of people, the Davos set, mm-hmm. World Economic Forum, frankly. I think they're pushing the democratic world into the sea, and they will replace it with a technocratic dictatorship. And it's easy to do if you think, before you start giggling, that the central tool of this technocratic dictatorship will be the smartphone in your hand and 5G. You will have a vaccine passport. It's basically just an app with a tick on it that says you've been a good little boy and girl and you've turned up for your useless jabs. And if you don't have that, you won't be able to beep your way into an aeroplane or beep your way into a supermarket or to a petrol station. Now, vaccine passports add absolutely nothing to safety. And let me just explain why. So you're walking down the pavement and the question is, has that person been vaccinated or not? I tell you, if the answer is yes or no, it makes no difference whatsoever to your safety, because if they're not symptomatic and spluttering virus all over you, they couldn't possibly infect you anyway. So their immune status is utterly irrelevant. You have to believe in fairy stories to believe that they're going to infect you with a virus they don't have. But that's what they've got you to believe. It's not true. It's never been true. So you don't need a vaccine passport. It's you are allowing yourself to be drawn into a process that we will never escape from. If you tolerate this, our whole lives will be based on vaccine passports. And once the system's up and running, the person who wrote this book called Technocracy, which is really just an understanding of how sort of scientific dictatorship can begin, he is of the view, and I share it, that if you're in a territory where vaccine passports start and it become into widespread use for gaining access to things, I think unless the controllers of the database release you from it, and I can see no reason why they would, but unless they do, you can never get out of it. Because if you refuse to play the game, you're excluded from your life. You can't shop, can't go to work, kids can't go to school. But if you do comply, every now and again, that vaccine passport will ping and remind you to turn up for a new vaccination. So at the very least, it's a compliance tool, control tool, and lots of vaccines. And the worst end is, you will have heard this before, but the worst end is much worse than that, shall we say, and would solve the global warming problem forever. So, but you can resist right now by just saying, I've listened to this Eden guy and he stepped through all the eight lies and I've checked some of the references and don't understand all of it, but I've checked some of them and they're definitely lying to me. See, that's the point. You don't even need to believe everything I've said. I put it to you that if I can prove to you the important thing that's central to your health, you should be angry enough to pull them out of their offices and string them up on lampposts. Now, I don't want you to actually do that, right? I'm not encouraging criminal activity, mm-hmm. but you should be that
cross.
And I will tell you that we have been led to believe this is a novel virus to which people had no immunity, pretty lethal, and everyone could catch it, and there are no treatments. All of those statements are wrong. But the one that's most important is this bit about no treatment. You can go to a website called American Association of Physicians and Scientists, AAPS, and you'll find a fully peer-reviewed paper with about 50 authors in it, all doctors, who have combined their clinical work around the world over the last year. I think the lead author was a famous physician in the States called Dr. Peter McCulloch. And there it is, black and white, all those treatments work. Your government has lied to you, the NHS has lied to you, doctors have lied to you, Sage has lied to you. You can go and check that. And if I'm right, you know you've been lied to. You don't really need to go through any of the other lies, but that will do. And so once you discover you're being lied to, you've got two choices. Now, most people, when I get to this point, are so frightened by what I've told them. Some of them actually said, can you stop talking? Because if what you say is true, it's more frightening than the virus. Well, there's nothing I can do for you if you are not willing to be courageous enough to do something. Now, you have discovered you're being lied to, then there's nothing I can do. But if you are, then I put it to you, you only need to be convinced the government's lying once about treatments, for example. The failure to use those treatments, to allow physicians to use those treatments, I think, based on the statistics, has probably cost 80,000 people their lives. You know, your brother, your mother, could be yourself, you know, your partner, maybe a child, but more likely an older person has died. 80,000 people in the UK alone, several hundred thousand in the US have died over the last year, who probably would have lived longer had they not been lied to and allowed to use these treatments. Now, if that doesn't make you angry, there's literally nothing I can do for you. So if you want to follow on like good sheep and wear masks, which don't work, by the way, been tested and definitely don't work. If you want to keep wearing the tool of the symbol of compliance and repression, and also when you wear a mask, you tell everybody around you there's a hazard and they should wear their mask. So throw your mask in the trash in the bin, please. They don't work. Seriously, so that's one thing you should do immediately. Throw your mask away. And if anyone's cross with you, tell them that masks have been tested and do not reduce respiratory viral transmission at all, ever. Right, so that's one thing. And so if you carry on wearing masks, I hope you can look your children in the eye. What did you do in the war, Dad? Well, I went along like a sheep until we lost our freedom. How about that? Right, I'll stop now. You can tell I'm quite cross and fed up because I've done this. I've done this over 40 times, and I'm sure I've done all I can do like this. Right, so it's all I can
do. And quite rightly so, you know. I mean, you know, when you're standing in your position and have the understanding that you have, and you see these things as relatively simple and straightforward and common sense, and people just don't see that, and they just go along with the narrative, it is really, really infuriating. Yeah. One of the things
it's upsetting.
I'm with you 100%. Here's something that we're hearing, some horror stories of people. Actually, two questions. First of all, if somebody's already had a vaccination, they're already on a path. Is there anything they can do to reverse what we're hearing is going to happen to them? That's the first thing. The second thing is, if somebody's already had the vaccination, if they're around other people who haven't had the vaccination, is there anything to be worried about? Because we're hearing some horror stories of people who haven't been vaccinated who are around people who have.
Sure. Okay, well, on the second bit first, There shouldn't be a reason to be concerned. So if you just take a vaccine, certainly a conventional vaccine, there's no way you could then become a hazard to somebody else. I'm not sure I think there's a hazard either. I do think there's certainly a phenomenon when, you know, in my country, more than half the population have been vaccinated. Odd happens in your world. It's not difficult to find someone, you know, right next to you or just next door who's been vaccinated. So it would be easy for the idea to go around that your medical problem has resulted from being close to someone who's vaccinated. I don't think so, but I don't want to be dogmatic because I can't be 100% sure. And maybe there's some skullduggery going on. In terms of people who've been vaccinated, are they on a path? So just say a little bit more. the history of people trying to develop vaccines for coronaviruses specifically, unlike influenza viruses where it's worked reasonably well, vaccines, but coronavirus vaccines have not been successful. And we don't understand quite why, but they have fallen over in development through a process called antibody-dependent enhancement. In other words, the paradoxically being given the vaccine actually makes you more susceptible to the virus. Obviously, that's not a helpful thing. And people are worried that that might happen with these vaccines. They've not been tested for that propensity in animals, so we don't know whether that would occur. And animal models are not always reliable anyway. They're not always a reliable guide. And yes, there are some of my peers, scientific peers, at least a couple of famous people, who they are so concerned that people who've been given these vaccines are going to get seriously ill and die when they encounter this virus or a very similar virus. And I don't know that that's not true. I would just say that's not my default position. I will recognize it might be true. My belief is that the vaccines are largely being used to herd people into this electronic control system called vaccine passports, because I remember them, you know, ghastly people like Tony Blair, who was a war criminal, former prime minister, telling us the necessity of vaccine passports to open the world up. I think it was a year ago, long before we had vaccines. And I thought, this scaly lizard Blair, he didn't know anything about vaccines and so on. What the hell is he doing? So I started looking into vaccine passports, and after about 5 minutes, you don't need a little piece of card. You don't need a little icon on your phone. I'll just put it this way. If you're a susceptible person, if you've been vaccinated and everything's gone well, you're already protected. You don't need to be worried about anyone else's status around you. And if you're a young person like me, I'm 61, I'm fit and well, I'm not worried about the virus. I'm not in the category of people who fell ill and died. And if I should get ill, I know there are 4, 5, 6 drugs that will see me right 85 to 95% of the time. So I have to keep telling people, the virus itself is not the thing to be frightened of. It's not that terrifying. It's certainly, if the available treatments, the hard-won treatments, which is good clinical evidence, if they are available to you, and they damn well should be, you really shouldn't be frightened of it. It's more treatable than influenza. And some people they've braved the vaccine and they've done okay. So that's the end of the story. We do not need vaccine passports. So the idea of, say, making students get vaccinated before they go back to university, what a stupid idea. Why would you want to vaccinate people who are not vulnerable to COVID?
Right.
Well, because they might transmit it to each other. They won't notice. They'll mostly not have any symptoms. I reckon half of them have had it already. Same with school children. Don't anyone tell you that school children need to be vaccinated to protect granny. Well, one, granny's been vaccinated. Two, there are plenty of good treatments for granny if she gets sick. Three, children rarely catch this virus. Or that when they do, they don't get symptomatic very often. And if they don't, they can't spread it. Don't expose your children. Don't let these idiots lie to you on the telly. In fact, probably turn your TV off, because they're just full of lies and liars.
Seriously.
Unfortunately, what's really scary, and you can go and check this as well, is all countries are doing pretty much the same thing at the same time, almost as if there's a script being followed. Don't you find that terrifying? Also, they're not doing what even the WHO said you should do. Say, I remember looking at, in 2020, I looked at the existing WHO guidelines for pandemics and severe pandemics. Guess what? The only things they included were hand washing and quarantining of the sick. Everything else, border closures, screening of the well, masks, at least those three things, specifically excluded them, because they'd been considered in the past. Locking down of communities. I think four things that they were mentioned and specifically excluded. So they weren't in the UK pandemic preparedness plan, they weren't in the WHO plan, but guess what? We've all got them. And you know, we all got them at the same time, and they don't work. So, this is another thing you could check if you want to, but unfortunately you have to be able to read scientific papers. But lockdowns, for example, I think they've been the curse of the world over the last year, restrictions, lockdowns, and so on. Respiratory viruses spread only when a symptomatic person comes into contact with the susceptible person for long enough, right? So, and always inside. So if you don't have symptoms, there's no reason why you shouldn't encounter someone in a shop or a cafe or a workplace, literally no reason at all. But that's that's what lockdown is. It just, it stops healthy people interacting with each other. But that's been studied worldwide, and you know, certainly in several states or in some countries or comparing countries with each other. And it's absolutely clear cut. Over 30 peer-reviewed journal articles I've read, none of them show the slightest hint of, quote, lockdown working. And the reason is what I've just explained, that it's symptomatic encounters that matter, not average human contact. So people say it's a disease of human contact if you reduce the number of human contacts. Through lockdown, it must work. I've heard idiots, journalists that think they're clever, they've said that. And I remember hearing, this guy Snowden, who's a complete arrogant idiot. he said it, and the moment he said it, I realized his category error. He thinks all contacts are equivalent for transmission of the virus, and it's completely wrong. It's only the people who are symptomatic. They're the ones who have high loads of viruses in their airways, and inevitably they have symptoms because the virus attacks them and they fight back. That's why you get symptoms. There's no other reason. If you haven't got symptoms, you haven't got a lot of virus, Mr. Snowden, and that means you can't infect other people. So you could interact with 99 people and you probably wouldn't communicate the virus. Now, if you're symptomatic, guess what? We used to call that ill. Unwell. if you're those things, what are you going to be doing? Wandering around the streets, you know, going to the petrol station, filling up your car, popping around the supermarket aisles? No, you're going to be lying on your sofa or in bed, or if you're unlucky, you might even be in hospital. So the point is, people who are the strongest sources of infection, with the most virus in their airways, the best source of infection, they're going to be the most symptomatic and the most ill and the least likely to be bumbling about your high street. You're not going to bump into walk on the pavement or in the supermarket. And as a result, when you shut down society through lockdowns, it made no difference whatsoever to transmission. Most transmission occurs, here's a question for you, where do you find symptomatic people and susceptible people together?
Hospitals.
That's where it's full of
hospitals.
Sick people.
Yeah.
So, and then their homes is another one. You know, you've got residents that can't go out, or you know, they live together with, and they have staff visiting them. And the last one would be domestic homes. But most families are quite small, 2, 3, 4, 5 people. A lot of people aren't susceptible. So if I had the virus, there might be no one else in my house I could give it to, maybe one other person. So the strongest waves of transmission were through institutions, I think. Virtually none of it took place outside. And very little of it inside in the general community, because you don't go out if you're feeling that ill. People have told me that they think that's absurd. And I said, why do you think it's silly that people who are symptomatic stay home? Because that's all I'm telling you. And if you are symptomatic and ill and stay at home, then you can't infect somebody. But if you're feeling well enough to go out and about, you're probably a low risk. And so that's why lockdowns don't work. And you don't have to accept my explanation, although I think it's quite a good one. You can go and look at the literature, and it's absolutely clear. 30 studies by, you know, I don't know, hundreds of scientists around the world. Lockdown has never worked, never. And so we've still got restrictions in my country 6 months after our prime minister, who's probably a criminal, I'm not quite sure. He could just be stupid. I'm not sure. You can't distinguish between puppets and perpetrators, really.
That's true.
But he's following, doing what he's told, I suppose. We have still got limited restrictions. You can only have, I think, 6 people in your back garden or something absurd like that. As if that's going to reduce transmission. It's July, folks. It's July. As far as we can tell, it's a seasonal virus everywhere. Every other virus, except, you know, occasional summer colds people get, and certainly hay fever, you know, hay fever allergies. But respiratory viruses, they're, you know, both ends, not in the middle of summer. So the idea that people are shuffling around wearing masks, I just think, I don't know. I think people call that blue pilled. We've accepted the lies that the government told you, and it's very uncomfortable being red pilled when you realise that everything they've told you is a lie. And because as soon as you realize that, you realize that there must be a motive, and I'm afraid there is. And even though I don't know exactly what that motive is, it's not good for you. It's not good for you. They're lying for a purpose. All the countries all at the same time. Frightening, huh? How are we doing for time? For about 9 minutes.
So I have one last, well, I think probably have time for one last question. I'm going to say this for all the people who've come and said it to me, and this is their number one argument with me. Well, Simone, what about all of those people who have died from COVID? What about them? So Dr. Yi, I'm going to ask you the same question.
Yeah. Okay.
What about all those people who've died?
Yes. Well, yes, you can. So it's important to note that in most countries, there haven't been many more people dying. Haven't been very many more people dying than usual, except for the period around the initiation of lockdown. So certainly in my country, I would say it does look like some people did die of the virus. I think a lot of other people died because they were moved out of the place they were in a hospital, for example, and they weren't fit to leave. Certainly in Italy, ghastly stories of some old people's homes being completely abandoned by their staff. And a few days later, people came in and found all the residents literally dead. So the thing is, dying with and dying of, this is very important.
Yes.
The test that they have used, the inventor who won a Nobel Prize for it had said repeatedly, because people have been misusing his test for years, Carrie Mullis, that the PCR test is not a suitable test for working out whether you have a clinical infection. It just works out the presence or absence of something. And I'm afraid we're animals and we live in an environment in which there are lots of organisms. So there's probably one copy of every virus that exists probably around me. One copy is so tiny. But PCR test is a very sensitive test. And so he said you can find almost anything in almost anybody if you run enough amplification cycles. Bottom line is, I don't think those people died of COVID. I think 90% of them died of their normal, the things they died of. You may know this, for example, two things that are very important. The average age of people who died with or of COVID in the UK, almost identical to the average age of people dying from everything else. That they were slightly older, oddly enough. Seems odd, a disease that's ripping through the population, and the average age of death was older than people who died of everything else. And the other thing is, they died with an average, I think it was 2.5 other serious chronic illnesses, each of which shortens their life. So it really, I don't think it's much of a stretch to say, do you know what? They probably died of those 2.5 other chronic illnesses. And the COVID positive test, I think, was incidental in most cases. I do think maybe 10% of them genuinely did die of respiratory viral infection, and they had a sort of flu-like illness that turned into pneumonia and they died. But I don't think the majority did. So the answer, Simone, to your question is that, really. I just don't think very many people have died. I don't think it's a particularly lethal virus, to be honest. It's been overplayed. The fear's been overplayed.
Yes, definitely. Brandon, do you have anything else? I was asked
about people who were on a path. Yes, I didn't answer that question. So, yes, some people think we may have primed people to be now vulnerable when they encounter the virus again. That I would say that's possible. It's certainly not the drum I'm beating, because I don't know. But I would say there are good treatments for COVID-19, the disease. And so why not make sure you're around an educated and open-minded physician? Because if you do get symptoms, I see every possibility that those treatments could be quite good. So if that happens, you have a chance. But the thing is, I said, I believe the vaccines were being used to sort of herd people onto accepting a digital ID, vaccine passport, which you definitely don't need. It does not add anything to safety. So what I was going to say is, don't accept a booster, top-up, variant, or third vaccine. Definitely don't need it. Once you become immune, certainly natural immunity seems to last years to decades. We've studied it in the most similar previous virus, so-called SARS, in 2003. People have stayed perfectly immune for at least 17 years, so that's probably true with this one. So don't let anyone lie to you, fool you, and tell you need to turn up for another vaccine. Because I'm fearful that that's at the very least a control measure that's going to sort of cost lots of money, and at worst it could be something that's designed to injure you. Mm. But just make it not an issue by not turning up. You don't need it. Mm. You don't need it.
Fantastic.
You literally don't need it. The only thing you'll do is harm you.
Miss Eden, I just want to make very clear to all our viewers and anybody who catches the replay of this that first and foremost, you're not an anti-vaxxer. You're not one of these people who is making anything out of this, who's looking for any fame, any fortune, who's trying to push any conspiracy theories. You've been very clinical in your understanding of this whole situation. You haven't really said anything until you've understood it. And then you've come out and you're telling people that, you know, this is something very dangerous, that you do not need this, but this is not for your benefit in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah, do you know what? I don't really, if somebody wants to decide I'm a quote anti-vaxxer, I've spent 32 years in the pharmaceutical industry. Doesn't sound very likely that I would be an anti-vaxxer, does it, really?
Absolutely.
You would have to be stupid if you think that's my motive, right? Yeah. I've made plenty of money. I could retire. I've spent the whole of my life for the last year trying to warn people that we're being done. As I said before, I've had no public comment about anything prior to that, and no, I don't monetize anything. I don't know how to do it, and also I don't need to. So the only reward I get for telling people, sharing my scientific insights, is lots of insults. So if you want to believe that makes me anti-vaxxer, then screw you. Seriously.
No, 100%.
I really don't care. I'm clean. I am not your audience, am I? If you want to think I'm an anti-vaxxer, so screw you.
I appreciate your candidness, honestly.
Yeah.
You can tell I've had enough, folks. I've done this.
Absolutely.
I've done it over 40 times. And, you know, if you want to carry on believing those liars, it's saved. You want to believe those liars in government, you be my guest. Because do I look like I'm making money out of this and enjoying it? No, I'm telling it to you because it's true. But I'm probably done with this format. So you're my penultimate guest. And I'm going to move on to something else.
Well, with that, okay. You know, personally, you know, I just want to say thank you so much for, you know, I always say at the end of my shows, when a strong person takes a stand, the spines of many others stiffen. And that couldn't be more appropriate right now with somebody like yourself who's really taking that stand, not for any personal benefit, but for everybody else's benefit. So first of all, I want to say thank you for us being that interview for you. And I thank you so much for your strength, for your courage. And you know what? We're backing you 100%.
I'm pretty cross, actually. I'm pretty cross. So, I hope you don't get censored. And if I used any inappropriate words, just please buzz me out. I'm normally a very polite, quiet,
no, we'll be fine.
I'm angry because people have been really, really badly taken advantage of. They've been scared by. But I've read that basically we've been subject to the kind of the kind of propaganda that you would normally expect our folks, you know, people on our side, to be using against the enemy. They've literally turned the psychological ops of the army have been turned on the people to fight
the people,
and it's just awful. Also, the people doing it, new people there. I hope you're going to enjoy the sewer that you've created for yourself, your family, your friends. And your community. You should be absolutely ashamed of yourself, what you're doing. You really should. I'm certainly ashamed of you. I'm blazing. I'm absolutely blazing. Any doctors who are, because you guys are at least as clever as I am, I'm blazing about any physicians in the NHS who's been so stupid that they believe what they've been told and have been not treating their patients, not allowing them to see each other, pretending masks protect them, pretending the PCR test works, jabbing them with a vaccine when most of them don't need it. You are making me ill, you hypocritical, foolish, stupid people, all of you. Stop it. And the people who aren't that, the innocent public, discard your masks. Grab the people around them, give them a hug and a kiss. You're not going to catch something from it, and say, do you know what? We've had enough. We're going to stand between the criminals and our children from today. We're not having any more of it. That's what you need to do. That's what you need to do. Firmly, no violence, peace, lock arms together, and just tell people, everybody else, you know what? This is all lies, and it stops today. You can take it back. You can take back your old normal today, this evening, this beautiful summer's evening in England. Take the old normal back today. It's never going to be given back to you.
Yes. Thanks a lot. Very powerful. Thank you, Dr. Eden. Thank you so much for your time.
Good luck. Many blessings.
Bye-bye. Thank you. Cheers.
Wow. Let me tell you something. That right there, this is why on Saturday he was censored. This is why he was bothered. This is why he was disrupted and interrupted for that reason right there. That was 100%. Powerful.
That, you know what, just, I mean, you could hear it in his voice.
He's pissed.
You could see it in his actions. Mm-hmm. I mean, this guy is somebody who's so educated, so well learned. He's advised so many people. He was the ex-VP of Pfizer and head of research and development. These are people who you go to ask for the help. And the fact that they're being attacked so viciously and violently that everything is being taken away from him, and they're trying to really attack his credibility.
Yes.
You know, but I think anybody who's watching this right now was going to catch a replay is going to see that this guy is not playing around. He really has your best interest at heart. And because there's so many people who are not standing up, who are not fighting back, he's taken the stance on behalf of those people and standing up on behalf of you to say, do not do this. Protect yourselves, understand where you are, and start, you know, not violently, you know, not in a bad way, but start refusing. This is the time to really get the information, use your critical thinking, take somebody else who knows more than all of us collectively, right? And start speaking to other people, but take the stand first. Take the stand first.
It's the only way. It's honestly, people are asking for solutions and things like that. And people sometimes will reach out to me and say, what do we do? Mm. Start saying no. And, yes. And again, share this information. Share. This video needs to be shared. Mm-hmm. To many people, you know, honestly, Brandon, I think that's it. He dropped the mic today. Like, I'm there's nothing else to say. We want to thank you. Thank you. I'm glad we were able to finally get to interview him.
Yeah.
Again, this is the Awakening World Truth Summit. Thank you, everybody, for hanging in there with us. Thank you again, Dr. Jeden, for what you've done. Share this information, people. And of course, we can't forget to tell you guys to always donate so we can continue our work, people. It takes you, it takes us, it takes many of us, like you said, coming together. It's the only way.
Yes.
Thank you again. Have a wonderful, wonderful day.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. GCN.video. Telling the truth is now a revolutionary act.